You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Scripture reading will be in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 9 through 20. The last two Sundays we've been dealing with 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. The only prophecies that Paul wrote in this particular time in which we live, all of the prophecies are outside those boundaries. But we noted that in 1 Timothy, you remember, that in the latter days, some should depart from faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Incidentally, while I think about it, I ask you to read some scriptures for this Sunday, but they'll have to be put off to next Sunday. I forgot about this in the interjection in here in the between. But next Sunday, the scriptures you did read that I gave you, we'll be dealing with them in reference to the setting of the stage for the coming attraction. But in the meantime, we're dealing now with things that are really happening that we know from Scripture are in the context of the latter days. And 2 Timothy deals with the last days. And the last days are simply the extended end of the latter days. Latter days cover a much broader period of time, whereas the last days get down to the nitty-gritty of it. Now, we learn in these two different scriptures that in the latter days, men, seducing spirits, planetary spirits, incidentally, that's what the Greek word is, planos, which means planets, are going to be very active. They always have been active, but it says expressly so in these latter days. And the trend is toward two major factors, or rather three major factors. One is forbidding to marry. Now that's the spirit world's seducing spirits, and that's why we have so many different movements now toward ignoring the sanctity of marriage in the bed. And we had a call yesterday on this on the telephone, and I thought about what we were going to be talking at the time. Touched on a little bit there, but I want to get down to it today because it's so practical we're facing with this. Forbidding to marry. That's what the spirit world would like. And to accompany that, forbidding meats that have been sanctified by God, if we with thanks to receive them. And reminding us that our exercise program today, which has also become very prevalent all over the country, that's in that same chapter. They profit a little, but not very much. But the godliness profits a lot. Now, the problem of it is that we live in a body of death that constantly demands of our bodies that we follow that which is natural. And this is why this lesson becomes very apropos, because it's one thing to read about the conditions in which we live, as in 2 Timothy. But when you see yourself in the swirl of things, and you're bothered by it, then it's time to see how God tells us to deal with it. That's why it says there's no testing taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, and will not allow you to be tested whether it's you're able, but willing to test him to make the way of escape. In other words, you have to face up to reality. You're not children anymore. you're a child of God if you've been born of the Spirit of God. You got to be a realist. And that's what the writer's telling you. Don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And so, again, he brings up, he said, verse 15, don't you know that your bodies are the members of Christ? Don't you know that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? So, you see, the forbidding to marry makes a harlot group all the way around. Because, you see, the body is in the verse 20. You're to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, usually one or two things happen to a Christian if he's trying to fight this battle. The day in which we live is so obvious that don't need to even deal with it. That everywhere you turn, this is the great weaknesses of the flesh. And it's manifest regardless of what level of life you're on. And you go one of two ways. If you're a strict religionist, you go the legal way. Touch not, taste not, handle not. And that sure leads into misery, and nobody's able to take care of it. The Jews never could in all their time. We're encouraged to say, though, all things are lawful for me. On the one hand, but all things are not expedient. So, if I don't go the legal way, then I've got to pull myself up by my own bootstraps. And so I make resolutions. And if that doesn't work, I go to a counselor. And I go to a psychiatrist or what have you. Or I get so busy, I just don't have time to think about those things. And that won't work either. But then you begin to, at the end of the day, you got to have a picker-up. You get a picker-up, that just brings it all to your mind. You see, that's the two routes that people go. Now you begin where you begin at the beginning. It tells us, reminds us in this context. Verse 11. Such were some of you. This was your natural thing. You mean to tell me that we were fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate? Sodomites is what that last, that phrase, views himself with mankind, sodomites. You find all these things are very commonplace in the human race. And all of it belong to the human race. And somebody says that some of you is what we all were, basically. But we've been washed, we've been sanctified. Now, to appreciate that, in Paul's letter to the Philippian church, turn there quickly, in chapter 3. Verse 9. Now, the first thing that you should claim in your heart, because God's told you the truth, is the only way you can be righteous today. Verse 9. Philippians 3. Be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Notice his faith. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Would I have to believe that the efficacy of the blood of Christ, and I emphasize this again, the verbs there are all continuous action verbs here. Blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, keeps on cleansing, it keeps on cleansing, it keeps on cleansing, it keeps on cleansing. That's the only way I can stand before God. I may have the willpower, as Colossians, turn to Colossians now, chapter 2. Some people have a strong will. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. You don't need to turn there. It says, Christ is the head of the man. The man is the head of the woman, and God is the head of Christ. See, and the problem is that we don't recognize these headships. Not holding the head, which all the body, notice we're talking about the body now. The last verse of our text today was, glorify God therefore in your body. It's all joined together with God. Wherefore, verse 20, if you died with Christ from the rudiments, that's the ABCs of this age in which we live, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to the different ordinances such as touch not, taste not, handle not? See, there's the legal problem. Then if you are trying to do it on your own, in your own strength, apart from the law, all these are to perish with using after commandments and teaching to men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship. Here's a strong man. Pull himself up by his own bootstraps. He, famous poem, I'm the captain of my own, captain of my soul. I can do it. I can do it. Well, I'll tell you, brother, you can't do it. You can't do it. You get caught in that trap. All it does is satisfy your flesh. Which things indeed have a show of wisdom and will worship humility, neglecting of the body, not any honor, save for the satisfying of the flesh. That's all. It just satisfies your ego. And boy, people have got egos that just won't quit. That's one of the charges, you remember, in 2 Timothy 7:3. Everything in life is so self-centered. Every bit of it. 18 different things named in 2 Timothy about the condition of man in the last days of the latter days. The last days, of course, are the final result of obedience to the seducing the demons that are now so active among us. Where are you going? Now, if you're going to fight with the tools that God has given you, this is the only way you're going to come out and be happy about it. You have to begin with realizing that you have died with Christ. Your life is hid with God. And that the righteousness, whatever righteousness you have, is His righteousness that's been imputed to you. Not because you kept the law, or not because you pulled yourself up by the bootstraps. It's all imputed to you. That's why all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. Since I've been saved, since I've been bought with a price, I'm to honor and glorify God in this body. And I cannot do it through the law. I cannot do it in my own will. I may fool the world, but I won't fool God. Someone has said, and I've repeated this so many times, but I don't know how to improve on it. Your real character is what you are in the dark. That's what you really are. Only God can sustain you. That's why we need constantly to be reminded of the washings God has provided for you. If we're counting on anything else, this problem about should I commit adultery? Don't you know better than that? Sure you do. These problems, you know, should I have, I got this opportunity to defraud my brother for bucks. Don't you know you shouldn't do that? The gossip and tongue you've got, you ladies, my last gentleman, ladies. Don't you know? When people don't please you, you know, that they don't like them. Did you ever wonder why you don't like them? Why they don't please you?
take a look at yourself. That's why Paul, writing in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, says, when this book is complete, when I can look in the mirror, face to face, I'll see myself as I am. And this is the umpire, the mirror here. Not anything else. When you look at it with all its revelation, what you find is not a very pretty picture of it. There's no way that you can win in this fight. And we are in a fight. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the wicked one. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but what? Against the money spirit. Now, the only way we can glorify God is just to say what goes into a man does not defile him. It's what comes out of his heart. That's how you can glorify God. And if you're not constantly aware of the battle that's going on, I guarantee you are already on the losing side and don't even know it. That's why the great question in Philippians, Philippians 2 says in verse 12, work out your own salvation. How are you going to do that? Well, get your instructions. Every day, the next verse goes on to say, we look at this verse several times. I want you to see how it fits into the picture really good. I've come this morning with my appointment, with my mentor, which is the Holy Spirit. He's been sent here to guide me into all truth. Verse 13. And God is what? Work, that word working there is energizing. Where you are at that moment in time, recognizing God as in his headship, our Lord Jesus Christ, where he is at that time, where you are at that time is where God wants you to be. If you're there to be energized with him. And notice, it's according to his good pleasure. Notice, that cuts out that selfishness, that trying to desire to do it your way. It has to be done his way. And only he can energize that. If you're trying to energize through a legal system or your own will, I assure you, brother, that you're going to lose. You're a saint, child of God. You're losing the battle every day. You're living a miserable, frustrated life. I don't care who you are. And there's no way you can glorify God. Now, go back to 1 Corinthians 6 real quick. We acknowledge, verse 11, that we were of this category. And that all things are lawful, as in verse 12. But all things are not expedient. Show you the spirit of that in a very practical way. Today, this has always been true, but it's more active today than any other time. Men want, we just celebrate liberty, you know, the weekend we've been celebrating. Well, you know, to be a free man, you know the word of God. To be a free man means to be a responsible man. I know you talk about liberty, and this makes a difference, you see, because prior to the Russian Revolution, not the Russian, but the French Revolution, the giving of the Statue of Liberty to us, the people that came to this country was to get away from all the influences and the degradation of Europe. that's where the first one came from. They come over here, worship God according to how they want to worship. They were not under any system. Those who were under a system was known as Romanism. The Great Reformation, you see, turned that thought all around. People want to get England tried to legalize that, you see. Now many from England, France, Holland, people came to America. That purpose. But with the giving of the statue comes all your poor and all that. That's wonderful. But why? What motivation would come? Economics. That's what it is. Today we have a Babylon. See, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Today you have liberty and security. From the cradle to the grave. That's the tracks the whole world. They want to be free from the dictators, and they want to be secure. And they got a government here that'll give it to them. But you can't glorify God in your body. You're glorifying the state. Just a couple of illustrations, which you're aware of. Just draw your attention to. The very thing that we came here for, so that we could glorify God in our body, was that we might be able to practice our worship toward God without any interference from anybody. This would help true. And we made one great flaw in our Constitution, it was Moses. That was immediately to carry out the Declaration of Independence. And that flaw was, while we declared on the one hand that all of our rights were inalienable from God, we denied certain people that we brought in here their rights. And we were purged with blood. We paid for it. That over a half million on the battlefield alone, not to mention complete destruction of the South. And right after that, we got the Statue of Liberty. I want you to think soberly. Things are not what they always seem to be. Now, if we want to really glorify God in our body, we can only do that as we're motivated, as we're energized from on high. That's why it says, work out your own salvation. Don't look to somebody else. Work it out. Who do you look for then? Or is God who works in you? No, it's God who works in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. This means that as Romans 12 puts it, I beseech you therefore, brother, because of the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, and be not conformed, notice, be not conformed to this age, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of the mind. By the washing of what? The washing of the water of the word. This is the only way we'll ever glorify God. You won't glorify God just because you look pretty. What will you be glorified? Yourself. Everybody wants to look so prim and proper. See how nice I dressed this morning, shaved, cleaned up. This is the thing. Is it done? What's the reason for that? Is it done to be conformed to the age, or is it done to honor the Lord? Certainly God does not particularly joy in a swab either. You have an illustration of this this way. God does not put a premium on ignorance. They did not put a premium on intelligence either. And God did not put a premium on human beauty. And he doesn't put a premium on a slob either. But he looks at the heart. He sees what the heart is. That's what he sees. That's the way you glorify God in your heart. What is the energizing force that causes you to be what you are in the dark? We're done with preaching now and going to meditate. See, that's the thing about it. You get right down to it. And this is why these two prophecies in 1st and 2nd Timothy are so needful to understand the time in which we live. Those things have always been true, but there are now a way of life that makes them acceptable. That's the thing. We have a Supreme Court, and this is the legal aspect. It will not allow us to teach our own children the Bible in the school, in the public school. In fact, they won't even let you pray about it. That's the intelligence. You see, that God doesn't put a premium on that covenant. And then the other extreme is that he wants to do his own thing. He's a free man, so he just do whatever he wants to do. There's no responsibility there. That's his law. Since comparing intelligence with ignorance and beauty outwardly with inwardly comparing. And we have to realize this. If we're going to work out our own salvation, that's making you responsible. God has made you free. All things are lawful, but all things are what? Not extreme. Now, how do we recognize our responsibility to headship? Headship comes to us from without. The very structure of a man and a woman illustrates this very plainly. The drive of a man is desire. Stems from without. That's why his organs are built that way. A woman's is from within. That's why our organs are built that way. Within. You know, I didn't mean to touch on this one, but I think it's time we begin to realize these things. God comes to us from what? Without. He has to come in. He has to take control of your life. This is what the headship is all about. It's illustrated to us in our own bodies. That's why we're at what? Glorified God. See, you died. This old body that was corrupt. And it says we all were that away. Verse 11. He is considered dead, and yet he's what? He's quickened us. He's made us alive in Christ. And we're, as a result, we're glorifying God. And let me tell you this. When you do that, people will look at you. They'll judge everything. And so, remember, so John, turn to Matthew just real quick in the 11th chapter. Now here's what you got. Here's how the world sees you. We begin reading verse 15, Matthew 11. And you'll find this expression quite frequently in Scripture. And listen to it real good. He has had ears to hear, let him hear. Now, in other words, what we're going to look at now, don't just let it come in this side and go out the other side. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's what God gave you, that ear, so he can hear. Let it pass on through. Some of them just got a blank canal going through there. But what shall I liken this generation? It's like the children sitting in the market, calling unto the fellows and saying, we piped unto you, and you've not danced. When you hear music, you ought to be, you know, responsive. That's why you don't need bad music, because if you do, it's responsibly bad. And we've mourned unto you, and you've not lamented. And he uses John, our Lord uses John himself to illustrate this. So John came neither eating nor drinking, and he had the demon. He's a party pooper. He don't want to associate with anybody. He wants to be all alone, and he's all alone too. John lived on the local wild hunting out in the forest. He certainly was. He was really a queer fella. I don't mean he was a sodomite, but I mean he was really an unusual man. And they said, who wants to live with a guy like that, living anywhere around him? He's just nuts. And our Lord was friendly. He says, he went out and had ate and drank with his people. Why was he doing that? Was he going out and partying? No. He was meeting them where they were. You meet a man where he is. And they said the man was gluttonous of wine, beverage, and a friend of tax collector. That's what that word public meant. That hadn't changed very much. You run around with a tax collector, that's what a public meant. That's about the worst sinner you can be. It hadn't changed much either. And a wine beverage. First off, he's a glutton, a wine beverage, a friend of tax collectors and other sinners. So, you see, if what we read this, it sounds kind of funny in a sense, but it isn't really funny at all. What it's saying is, people look at you, and regardless of how they look at you, good or bad, and you notice you'll form that in your own mind. The minute you see a man that does something a little different than you. Be not conformed to the age, be a transformed. I don't mean you should go with the garbage pail to find a full meal, but nevertheless, there's something in the garbage pail. Every man, woman, and child, God loves. And I tell you, that's not just a saying. The Bible declares that to be true. But God so loved the world, that's every man, woman, and child. So the one that just turns you off the other way, you got to take a second look at it. He might be a chosen vessel. The one who just turns you on because he's got everything he needs to have, you better take a second look at him too. That's why every man is required to work out his own salvation. That means he comes every day with God. He meets with him. He gets his marching order, just like the man who wrote the book of Proverbs said, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your way. That's everything in your life. Acknowledge him, and he will do what? He'll cut you the path. You want to know how to carry out the will of God? There it is. It's too simple. You cannot do it any other way. See, that's what Christ said. I am the way. That's it. He did not say, I am a way, I am the way. And I am what? I'm the life. You want life? He's in. So. And you want truth? That's the how we got to get over. And given this here, we just hit some sparing high places right here. I want you to see this glow. Because every plan of man will fail. This is a foul point here. It's the only way you'll glorify God. Don't worry about the other fellow. In this case, be very selfish. See, to be sure that you're doing it God's way and not your way. That's how you do it. Because you see, we have different weaknesses. Some people can overcome easily in particular traits. Whereas others have a problem with it. Otherwise, what's one man's poison and another man's state? And so you've got to learn and you never find out the part of the deal. That's why we're going to present ourselves. Here it is. In all of its favor. And all of its success. Some people are successful in their little practice. And you give honor to whom honor is due. But whatever it is, and most of you don't have my money at all anyway, a few of us do. But you present whatever it is. There it is. I beseech you, dear brother. And now this is addressed to God's people. This is not a reformation. Reformation is what happened to Judas. Remember? After he sold Christ out, he took his money and threw it in the temple. He went out and hanged himself. He was so bad, he thought that God couldn't do anything for him. That's a reform. Like the man, they had his house cleaned up. Went back into the house and took what he wanted. Seven more spirits more. The end of that man was worse than worse. You cannot reform. I thought you should study these scriptures for yourself. Because the one great sin that plagues the human race is men and women. Every verse 18, every sin that a man does is outside the body. Except what? Fornication, he sins against the man. That's the same as a man who lies to himself. It's bad enough to be a liar, which all you are, but it's a terrible thing to lie to yourself. Be honest with yourself. That isn't easy. You've got pretty high esteem of yourself. And when you go down and fill out a reference, it shows you what esteem you have for yourself. That's how you find that. You think you're a pretty good guy. And you are. If you're clothed in the perfect righteousness of Christ. And the unrighteous will never inherit anything. I can imagine, here again I'm supposed to know all about everything, that I'm a man that has just given away millions of dollars, but what has he done? He left behind a name for himself. Not glorifying God, glorifying himself. Father, thank you for this reminder. We don't get carried away with ourselves. And it reminds us who we are, where we begin, and what God has in store for us. Therefore, may the Holy Spirit now energize us to begin to think our whole life as we look forward to eternity with you, wherein lies our, should lie our affections. And may the Holy Spirit generate us to that end.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.